Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fellow fantasy managers? Welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend. So as always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of the weekend editions of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Saturday, March 23rd. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. We are nearing the end of spring training, so teams are currently finalizing their opening day rosters. So on that note, Victor Scott II of the Cardinals was reassigned to minor league camp, and that was despite a .316 batting average in spring training, but Scott will still unfortunately not make the big league team out of camp. This is the fastest man in the minors. Scott stole, listen to this, 94 bases between high A and double A last year, and he was no slouch with the stick either, batting over .300 with 9 home runs across both levels. Just insane speed and bat to ball skills. Scott should be up at some point this year if he can maintain that offensive pace, and when that time comes, rush to the wire to grab him because he will be a huge boon to your stolen base production. Scott's demotion means Dylan Carlson will begin the year as the Cardinals' everyday center fielder, and he'll be flanked by Alec Burleson and Jordan Walker in the corner outfield. Speaking of Burleson, I'd keep an eye on him early in the year. So far in spring, he's batting .357 with more walks than strikeouts, 5 walks to 3 strikeouts. It's easy to forget how good Burleson was in the minors after his lackluster debut last year, but in 109 games at AAA in 2022, Burleson batted .331 with 20 long balls and a strikeout rate below 15%. Those are elite numbers, and he put in a lot of effort to work on his fitness and agility this offseason, and it looks to be paying off so far this spring. Burleson has been all but forgotten about during draft season, but you know, put him on your watch list as he finally has a clear path to playing time. Dylan Carlson, like I said, earned the starting center field job. I wouldn't be too keen to go grab him. He was a top prospect, but he really only had that 1 year of production in the minor leagues, and he has yet to prove it at all in the majors. Maybe this will be the year he bounces back, but I sort of see him probably not performing up to standards, and then somebody taking over for him in center field, either Lars Nootbaar or Tommy Edman coming off the IL, or maybe Victor Scott is the man to steal it from him. Pun unintended there. Max Meyer has made the Marlins opening day roster and is the leading candidate to take over the fifth rotation spot. The third overall pick in the 2020 draft will be making his return from Tommy John surgery, which held him out for all of the 2023 campaign. Meyer has yet to allow a run across 7 innings this spring, and a plethora of injuries have necessitated Meyer's presence in the rotation, as the Marlins will be without 4 members of last year's rotation to start the year. That's Edward Cabrera, Braxton Garrett, Sandy Alcantara, and Eury Pérez. Meyer will have to pitch well, though, to remain in the rotation, as both Braxton Garrett and Edward Cabrera are due back in the first month of the season, but Meyer will have a shot to prove he belongs to begin the season. He's got a pretty solid fastball and a great slider, but we'll see if he's got a deep enough arsenal to survive against major league lineups. Michael Massey will begin the season on the injured list with lower back tightness. He looked to be the leading candidate to be the team's opening day second baseman, but that turned out to be a mirage. Adam Frazier and Garrett Hampson are likely to platoon at the keystone position in his absence, neither of which are fantasy relevant. Garrett Hampson has a lot of speed, and Adam Frazier is pretty solid in the batting average department, but I don't think either of them are going to be rosterable, especially if they're splitting playing time and are set to lose it at some point in April. When Massey returns, though, he's an intriguing middle infield option in deeper leagues due to his ability to produce in the power department. He was one of the league's biggest Statcast underperformers last year with a WOBA nearly 40 points below his expected WOBA, so he's got some room to grow there. And last year, he still had double-digit home runs. I think he could be a pretty solid guy in deeper leagues, but I wouldn't be like rushing to get him. I'd like to see what he can do and where he's batting and how that Royals lineup is turning out, because I think there's a lot of potential there in Kansas City. I'm currently doing a March to October in MLB The Show with the Royals, and it's been a lot of fun. I think that team's got a shot this year. We'll see how it works out. But I wouldn't get any hopes up after last year's terrible season. But Michael Massey has a shot to be a 20-plus home run contributor at some point in his career. Both Corey Seager and Josh Young played the field for a few innings yesterday. Both players are attempting to prove healthy enough to make the opening day roster. If not, the timeline they're currently on puts them on track to make their debuts early in the 2024 season. I wouldn't count this against them. If you have yet to draft, Corey Seager is the lead. I think he should be going in the top three rounds in basically every single league. And Josh Young, while I'm not a huge fan of his at third base, is a good contributor in the power department. And he should have tons of runs in RBI in one of the deepest and best lineups in all of baseball. I wouldn't discount them too much in your drafts. Josh Winkowski of the Red Sox will open the year in the bullpen in a multi-inning role. He was fighting for a rotation spot, but he didn't quite make the cut. But with both Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin dealing with minor injuries, there's a small chance Winkowski seals a save or two earlier in the year. There's just not many options in that Boston bullpen right now. So you would need both Jansen and Martin to be on the IL to start the year, or at least to be, you know, day-to-day or whatever, to have Winkowski steal a save there. But I do think he would be the leading candidate because there's nobody else in that bullpen where I'm like, yeah, that guy should be getting a save, especially with John Schreiber now in Kansas City. I like Winkowski a little bit, especially in leagues where games started are limited for starting pitchers, because Winkowski will be able to go multiple innings. I picked him up in my home league, so fingers crossed he either gets a save or a win at some point in the first couple of weeks of the season. The Mets will option recently signed JD Martinez to the minors to begin the year as he builds up for the season after signing just a few days ago. It's a weird situation, but Martinez has options left, and this will afford the Mets an extra roster spot as they await Martinez's arrival in Queens. It's honestly very weird. You rarely see a guy of Martinez's caliber signed and then optioned to the minors and not via a minor league deal, but it makes sense. Martinez needs some time to ramp up. He has options. They send him down. They wait until he's ready and they bring him back up. And while he's down, they'll have an open roster spot either for a pitcher or for a bench bat, but we'll see how that works out. I think Martinez will add a lot of depth to that lineup and he'll fit really well in that DH role. Taiwan Walker is battling shoulder stiffness and will undergo an MRI to determine the next steps. If he were to miss the beginning of the season, Spencer Turnbull would step up as the fifth starter. I'm not super interested in Walker in fantasy terms. I am not interested at all. Walker hasn't been that great for a while, and his velocity continues to plummet. He struggled this spring. Spencer Turnbull, though, is somewhat interesting. We've seen him have a lot of success in the past, but if he does get an extended look in the rotation, he could be pretty interesting. The Phillies have been decently good at pitching development in the past couple of years, which is a change of fortune for them as they used to struggle mightily with that. But I'd keep an eye on Spencer Turnbull as he goes to work in that Phillies rotation. Make sure to check in on Nick's analysis of Turnbull starts if those inevitably happen. In other Phillies news, Orion Kerkering will begin the season on the injured list. It's nothing overly serious, but he's been sick with the flu, unfortunately, and won't be ready until a couple of weeks into April. I wouldn't be super concerned. There's still a shot he could steal some saves, but with a guy that's so young and is yet to reach arbitration, I don't expect the Phillies to push him into a closer role right now, because all it would do would bump up his arbitration price. They have plenty of other relievers in that bullpen that could be the closer here that aren't going to have their arbitration dollars pushed up if they get saves. I think Jose Alvarado should be the leading candidate, but don't count out Jeff Hoffman or Gregory Soto or even Sir Anthony Dominguez making a comeback there. Nolan Jones left yesterday's game after fouling a ball off his knee. The diagnosis was right knee contusion, but it's still up in the air whether he'll require an IL stint. I'd keep an eye on this situation if he's on your fantasy team already or if you plan on drafting him. Nolan Jones is a big power speed guy in a shallow Colorado lineup, but he's in the best ballpark in baseball and he really showed out last season. Nolan Jones is super exciting, but it would really suck if he hit the IL to start the year, but this doesn't seem to be super serious. And lastly, Miguel Andujar of the A's tore his right meniscus and will undergo surgery. He had a hot spring, and so it was looking like he was set to have a bounce back year in Oakland. Andujar is the former rookie sensation with the Yankees, and he has yet to catch on anywhere or find any success after that year. But it looked like this might finally be it, as Oakland is sort of like last chance U for baseball players, but that dream will be cut short. Andujar should be able to return during the summer if all goes according to plan. I'm targeting a June return for Andujar, and by that time, there might not be a lot of playing time open for Andujar, but I think he could be pretty cool in summer or late in the season if he does get a shot in Oakland. That team is not super great, so that lineup wouldn't be good around him, but that does mean that he could get an opportunity. And before we look at a couple of the notable performances from yesterday, we're going to take a quick break. And we're back. Jake Crumpler here on the First Pitch podcast as we break down some of the notable performances from Saturday. We'll start it off with Colton Cowser, who hit another home run and is now up to six this spring to go along with a .318 batting average. Cowser was one of the few top prospects in Baltimore to be spared the demotion on Friday, and he's doing his best to set himself up for everyday at-bats in 2024. There's currently not a clear opening in the lineup, but if Cowser keeps crushing the ball, the Orioles will have no choice but to find a spot for him. Grab Cowser late in your drafts as it's clear he's making the roster and has tons of power upside despite increased strikeout rates throughout the minors. Parker Meadows went 2-for-4 with his fourth home run of the spring and is now batting .367 in March. Meadows has been batting leadoff every day this spring, and it seems like that'll be the case throughout the regular season, though there's a shot he's platooned, though it would be on the strong side. He'll be a solid source of runs and speed at the top of the Detroit lineup after stealing 8 bases in 37 games during his debut season last year. If Meadows can carry over his newfound power output, he's a candidate for a 2020 season. He's currently projected for like 15-15 across all projection systems, and that kind of production is difficult to find from players being drafted as late as he has. I think he's going after pick 250 at the earliest. And lastly, we have Dominic Canzone of the Mariners. He continued his hot spring, belting his fourth home run and adding another hit to boost his batting average to .316. He's currently penciled into the strong side of a platoon in left field for the Mariners and absolutely dominated the minors last year with the Diamondbacks. The left-handed hitter batted .354 with 16 dingers in 71 games at AAA before being traded to the Mariners in the Paul Sewald deal. Canzone has great plate discipline metrics and could be a sneakily advanced hitter that's being rostered in all but the deepest of leagues. Put him on your watch list right now and hope that you're the first one to pick him up if things do turn out well. And if you're looking for some starting pitching highlights, make sure to go check out the Plus Pitch podcast hosted by Nick Pollock, as he provides updates on all the important information and highlights from the world of pitching. Also, make sure to read the daily SP roundup to get you caught up on every single start from Saturday. This is the best way to help you win your fantasy baseball leagues. When I was winning my home league every single year for 3 years in a row, it was because I read that article every single day. It's coming out all spring. It'll be going all year long. Make sure to go check that out, because that's the best way to set yourself up to be the best knower of ball and, most importantly, starting pitching in your fantasy baseball league. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro or PL Plus to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherlist staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this episode of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast. Bubba will be back with you on Monday and throughout the week, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.